This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, and welcome here to the Christian War Room. Today we've got part two of an interview between, let me just check out the name, between Jonathan Van Maren. I understand he's a Canadian radio host, and the interview partner is Eben Tranholm. She's a broadcaster and journalist working for the Danish Broadcasting Association, and she talks a lot about, she's got very strong views on political correctness, yeah, and the failure of it, and the failure of modern European dogma, I don't know what you want to call it, humanism, secularism. And she talks heavily against it. She sees a big problem and a big threat we have got in our age of being Islamized within the next generation, of Europe being changed forever, all on account of weak European politicians who don't dare to take decisions which are necessary to maintain the status quo in Europe. And to maintain the freedoms our forefathers fought and died for. Okay, very, very interesting. Very interesting talks we've had so far. This may be one of the last talks for now. So we've, I think for the last 4 or 5 days, we have been listening to Eben Tranholm from Denmark. And this is it's pretty much it's going to be the last talk today for the Christian War Room. We may put on later. I'm trying to get hold of her to do an interview ourselves. There's some really interesting aspects she's talking about. She looks at the masculinity of the European man and the failure of the indoctrination by the liberal establishment to destroy the nuclear family. She looks at feminism, which is quite interesting as well. She also looks at the whole aspects of the Islamization of Europe and some of the problems and issues which have been emanating over the recent years of what has been happening in Europe. Again, I mean, from a Christian perspective, we need to be very alert in what is going on here. Now, let me sort of give you my own spin on this, and then we'll move over to Eben Tranholm and to Jonathan Van Maren. I hope I pronounced his name right. Okay, now I think there's the biggest challenge. I personally believe that what has been happening to Europe and what's partly been happening to America as well is already the judgment of God. Europe has been very strong in its Christian values for hundreds of years. Very, very strong. And all I need to do is I need to go back for, you know, to the period of the First World War. Kaiser Wilhelm made a strong statement, and he said that he is proud that his men in the trenches, that all of them have got a New Testament, and if they die, they die with a New Testament in their hands. Yeah. He made a statement to that effect. I don't know the exact words. It sounds, from today's perspective, you know, almost morbid and sarcastic, but it was genuine. Okay, at the time they felt that the war was justified and was a genuine war, and also they felt that it is important to have a good and a right relationship with God. The church at the time was more faithful than the church today. The priests, they were actually still believing in a God, and they were taking the elementary doctrines of the Word of God seriously, and they were preaching them accordingly as well. So what's happened since then is we've had a lot of bad developments, and these happened in America, they happened in Germany, they happened also in other Protestant nations. We had the historical critical analysis of the Bible. We have had godless professors, atheistic theological professors, going into the seminaries and pretty much spending all the time they had convincing their students that the Bible is unreliable, that God is a myth, and that they have to deal with this. And so they came into university students looking for God, and they came out and they have lost him for good. And that was a lot of stuff that was happening in the early 1900s. And the churches lost their authority as more and more unbelieving pastors were running churches, the state churches. They lost their credibility, and things went downhill. And then on the other side, we got humanism and radical humanism arising from seemingly nowhere and eventually ruling the roost. It's a big problem. So when you look at society today, and you ask the Joe Blocks on the street, the average guy, about Christianity and how relevant Christianity is, the answer is probably it's totally irrelevant. The vision and the view they've got about the Bible is that the Bible is unreliable. That's number one. It's been faked. There were so much corruption in the church that it cannot be trusted. And therefore, it is irrelevant. And then the next couple of things the people in the world see is that that there is a lot of other interesting spiritual stuff to get into. There are ancient religions. There's old paganism. There is New Ageism, and a lot of other sort of Far Eastern religions, which to them seem to be far more relevant. If you ask them about their belief in God, most people do believe in God. But God is, some loving creature somewhere up in the sky. And when they die, because they're not bad people, everything is going to be okay. And they will be in the presence of God and they'll be in heaven. And they don't really know, but nothing bad is going to happen to them. Because hell doesn't exist anyway. And so this is pretty much the mentality we've got today and the mentality we have to fight against. And it goes further as well, sort of, if we stand up as Christians and we say, look, homosexuality is wrong. Yeah, you need to follow the word of God. You should only have one wife and one husband. You should look after your kids, assume your responsibility, and so on. So this all becomes politically highly charged, and Christians are very often seen as bigots, as being intolerant, as being problematic, and the best thing you can do is just shut them up and put them in some sort of ghetto and let them get on with their lives, but don't allow them anywhere near society to have an impact on whatever is going on in society. And instead, we've got this new morality, which redefines pretty much everything and promises happiness and the brave new world. And the reality is that people are suffering more than ever before. They don't know the right hand from the left hand anymore. They don't know. They've got no guidance. They've got no direction in their lives. They're not sure about God. They are in some sort of vacuum, which gradually turns into their own personal hell, which can only be lived through using tranquilizers and antidepressants, and trying to look for something they can't find, and the one thing they really need, they've been so inoculated against it that they reject it. And that one thing they need, obviously, is the word of God, is Jesus Christ. Okay, we are talking about the Christian war room, and this is something we need to understand. We need to understand the world around us in order to inject the gospel and to present the gospel in a relevant format and in a relevant fashion to this world. And so it's important for us to get a good understanding of what is happening in this world. How are these people deceived? How is everything sort of being shifted? How can it be that we as Christians who preach a religion of forgiveness, of love, but also of righteousness, and of support and help, even to those who don't belong to us, who are considered to be our enemies. It's probably the only religion which doesn't say chop off the heads of your enemies, but feed your enemy when he's hungry. That is what our Bible tells us. And how can it be that suddenly we are the culprits of the nation, and if a Muslim murders a homosexual and has a shooting in the nightclub, it suddenly is, and this is what's happened in Florida in the United States, suddenly politicians turn around and they say, it's only because Christians have generated this toxic environment against homosexuality. That is the reason that the Muslim guy went into the nightclub and started shooting all the homosexuals. I mean, that is sort of the epitome of madness of what is going on, that these guys are seriously standing up and seriously making these claims. I mean, it's not just illogical, it's devoid of any logic. It is evil and wicked what these people are doing. Anyway, we need to stand up against this, and we need to stand up in the war room. We need to point this out to people and also defend this. We need to say, look, you know, we are probably the last ones who go to AIDS victims in Africa and feed them and dress them and, you know, under great sacrifice, make sure that these guys can live in dignity and face their death in dignity. And when you look at that, there aren't many humanists, there aren't many secularists, there aren't many do-gooders who you find in Africa. And I've been in Africa many times, I've seen it. The only people you find down there in Africa, Europeans and Americans, they're people who either want to make money and business, yeah, they go down there to make a fast buck, or you find Christians who go down there to help those in need and to try to redress a balance where there's a tremendous need. I've never seen any humanists or atheists or do-gooders going to Africa under great sacrifice to themselves to help those who are in dire need. Something to bear in mind, but this is, you know, the world we're living in, where things are turned upside down and turned against us. We need to rise up, though, and we need to rectify whatever is, you know, whatever attack is launched against us. Whatever stronghold is there, elevating itself against the knowledge of God. We need to fight this, and we need to take these strongholds down. Okay, let's listen to Eben Thranholm and Jonathan Van Maren from Canada.
And that's very interesting, because you point out that Christianity in its true form would be the answer to many of these challenges. But the difficulty we have here in North America is that Christianity is being presented to people as hateful, as bigoted. You know, the opposition to gay marriage that's in Christianity is something that people should reject as almost vicious hatred. And it seems as if with the multicultural postmodern project, that any ideology, any worldview can be accepted except for the one that gave us our civilization and gave us our values in the first place. So you see in the wake of, for example, an Islamic terrorist murdering close to 50 people in a gay nightclub in Orlando, that many of the politicians have turned around and said that Christians, with their opposition to gay marriage, have created the climate that spawned this Middle Eastern terrorist. So when you point out that you want to start proposing Christianity as the answer, and I don't know what this is like in Europe, I'm only speaking from the North American perspective, is there a chance that a lot of people will push back because Christianity has been recast from a faith that emphasized, you know, loving your neighbor, self-sacrifice, and all these things, into a sort of a hateful, bigoted, narrow-minded point of view?
I know, but when I heard that comment from politicians that it was actually Christian who has made this climate of, you know, hatred against homosexual, I would call this a diabolical twist, because it's completely to reverse truth into a lie.
Right.
And they're actually telling lies. And I think Christianity is based on the truth. And it means that the big problem in our time is that truth has been turned into something, I would even say, a lie. And a lie has been turned into something that is true. And this is, you know, this was exactly the same thing that happened in the Soviet Union with this kind of communism idea. And now we have the same spirit here. And I think you have to understand that what's going on in the world today is not only a political battle, it's a spiritual battle.
Right.
And it means that those evil forces, which today is disguised as freedom of speech, democracy, gay rights, all those things, it seems to be like a liberation, that everything, now we can be completely free. We don't have even to consider the Bible and the Word of God, because this would just make us feel like prisoners, you know, in our own lives. And this is exactly the lie, that they sort of, you know, have twisted what is good, what is truth, into something that seems to be limiting people. And I think all these these values that we have now is in a kind of opposition to Christianity. But you can be sure that those political forces, what they want to, like I said, it was a spiritual battle. They want to destroy God's project. And I mean, the gay issues are, you know, a perfect issue to go against Christianity with, because you can always accuse Christians of saying you should be more tolerant. You should be more tolerant towards those people. But we know that even from natural law, that a man cannot create a new life. A man and a woman can create a new life. And that's also because sexuality has been twisted enormously. Because, I mean, our sexuality has been separated from procreating. It means that today people can have babies without even having sex.
Right.
They don't need to have sex to have a baby. And also it means that you will have, and you will have sex with no intention of having any babies. So that was the sexual liberation already, that sort of was watering down what is sexuality. It is meant to create a new life. So we know that two people of the same sex can never produce that. And in that sense, it's not right, you know, because this is what sexuality was meant for, not just to enjoy myself, but to create a new life. So already when we lost that understanding, we opened the door. So it was difficult for us to say, why shouldn't two people of the same sex be able to have sex with each other? And why should we not be tolerant towards this? So, you know, there are many layers, but I think that this is an attack on the order of God, the beauty of God. And you see the consequences. I mean, I think I saw a survey where it said that homosexuals were 3 times more likely to commit suicide than other people, even though they were in relationships. So many gay lives are not that gay. They're not that happy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just something that the Western media would cover up to you.
Right.
So it means I don't really think that those people are living, you know, very happy lives, because they are not living in accordance with the order of God or natural law even.
Mm-hmm.
And there are the spiritual laws, moral laws, like we have natural laws. And if you are, you know, in a kind of opposition to this, you can never be happy. But it's not allowed to say, because we have this kind of, you know, tolerance police. And I think that's just getting very, very totalitarian. And this is the tricky part, is that our free democracy, our liberal democracy, is turning totalitarian, at least for Christians,
mm-hmm.
because now Christians are being arrested for hate speech, just expressing their concerns about homosexuality and that it is not right.
Right.
And maybe even somebody would come after me, just, you know, from what I've been telling you right now. So it's not allowed to say anymore, and that in itself is very alarming. It's very alarming.
This is interesting, because obviously your critiques then of European masculinity have come from a complex Christian worldview that you hold very dear. And if you don't mind my asking, what is your own Christian background? Because you've obviously considered all of these cultural issues in the light of what Christianity has taught you.
Well, I was raised a Protestant, but then I studied theology at university. I had a master's degree. And then a few years after my degree, I decided to convert to Roman Catholicism. So I am a Catholic now, and I'm very happy to be a Catholic. So I am a convert to Catholicism.
And what would the state of Christianity in Scandinavia be? Because you're Danish, which is why I think a lot of people wouldn't have instinctively accused you of having these views, because you were a Christian, because Scandinavia is notoriously secular. Out here in Canada, the left-wing Canadians sort of talk about Scandinavia longingly as a land of glorious socialism that we should all seek to emulate. So what's it like to be somebody holding the views that you hold in the profession that you are currently in, with those sorts of beliefs?
Well, it's very difficult. Christianity is very secular and very, I would even say, left-wing, sort of. So it is a very liberal Christianity. So there aren't many people like me here in Scandinavia. And that was one of the reasons why I decided to convert, because I wanted to be part of a church that was worldwide and hold other theological views. So that was part of why I decided to convert. So here, I mean, yeah, it's true for liberals, Denmark is a paradise. So I understand that. If here, I mean, we were the first one to legalize abortion, pornography, things like that. Mm-hmm. But you also feel it here in our culture, because this is the most unspiritual culture I have ever experienced. That's why I need to go abroad from time to time, just to get some fresh air, you know.
Right.
You know, here we have the welfare state, and the state provides everything for you from you're born until you die. And it's very neat, it's very cozy, everything works, but there is no spirituality. We have, you know, we are a third world country when it comes to faith and spirituality. So when you start to talk about faith, people won't have much understanding of what you're talking about. But the interesting thing is that people have an interest. So if I go to a dinner party and or whatever, wherever I go, and people know who I am, or I tell them what I do, they start to ask me questions about religion. So it means, I think, there might be some kind of search for some, you know, answer to bigger questions. But in the end, I think that socialism and materialism has overcome Christianity or replaced it here. And it means that many people are very living in a kind of poverty when it comes to spirituality and to the bigger meaning of life. And I think that's very poor. I think it's very, very poor. Mm-hmm. And I think that the state now has replaced God. And that is what's happening in welfare states, is that the state becomes God. And the result is that many people here don't have any real joy. I mean, maybe many people think that to have a lot of material goods, to have a house, to have a car, to have everything you want, would make you happy. But on the opposite, but actually the opposite is happening. We see a lot of very depressed people here. I think we are only 5 million people. I think it's up to 500,000 people who take happy pills, mm-hmm. Because they're very depressed.
Right.
And we have a very, very high, we have a lot of people who are addicted to alcohol. That's also a huge problem. So if they were truly happy, you know, they would not need to take all those drugs. So I think that is a sign that the welfare state, needs a soul, and we have lost that soul. And for many people, it means that die and that's it. And it's not enough for a human being. There needs to be a higher purpose, a higher goal with your life, mm-hmm. and then just serving the state, you know.
Okay, well, let's end this off with one final question that I've been thinking about as you've been speaking here. You mentioned things like abortion and pornography and the depression rates amongst people, and especially among people in certain lifestyles. We see dozens and dozens of new sexually transmitted diseases, many of them lethal, having come into being since the sexual revolution. But we also have a generation now that grew up without Christianity, right? One generation back, people rejected Christian values, but since then, this generation has lived with the results of the sexual revolution and secularism without realizing what it was that our society rejected in the first place. And now you say you present this inflammatory thesis on television about masculinity, and you get a lot of positive feedback. Do you think there's a chance that maybe a generation that doesn't know what was thrown away might want to seek those answers again?
I hope so, but it depends right now on the grown-ups, whether they will take responsibility and go back to the roots or they will not, because somebody has to educate those young people. Mm-hmm. Of course, when they are going to get grown-ups, they might do some soul-searching themselves. But I think that what is very scary is that the biggest problem among young people today is self-destructive behavior. It means like cutting and, you know, drugs and things like that. When I was a child, it was like crimes where people were stealing a car or they were just, you know, throwing with stones or whatever. But now it's actually young people who are self-destructive. And I think that's also a spiritual problem, that they want to hurt themselves because they have so much pain inside that they just need to hurt themselves physically. And I think that the only way to heal that is through spirituality and going back to faith. I think it is actually a sign of lack of faith in something higher, because many young people here are left by their parents to make their own decisions about life, because we have this kind of relativism, which is actually nihilism. It means that parents today are scared of telling their children what to believe in, what to think, because they want the young people to find out themselves, which is obviously too big a responsibility when you're just 12 years old and your parents are divorced and you don't know anything about your life. So I think they need a father. And what has also been lost with the lack of masculinity is this aggression against the father. I mean, like Freud was against the father, made it very critical issue with the father, and God is the father, you know. So I think that if the next generation could try to see God as this kind of loving father, not a dominant, aggressive father, but a loving father who wants to take care of them, I think there will be much healing in that.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us about all of these really important issues.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Okay, that was the talk from Eben van Tranholm and Eben Tranholm and Jonathan van Maren. You can find these talks. There should be about 4 or 5 talks now on the website. You can find this at christianwarroom.com. Just go to the audio section. This one should be talk 43. And we have got other talks as well. I think it's 41, 40, and 39 as well, 42. 43, 42. Okay. Anyway, you can just find them there. They should be clearly labeled. So just go to the website and you can listen to them again. One of the things, I can't promise it, but I'll try to get hold of Eben to have an interview, you know, from, you know, BPN Radio, and to look at some of the issues we are dealing with here at BPN Radio, and also to look at the whole war room issue as well, of what you can do, and maybe, you know, we can have a question time or something else as well with Eben Tranholm. Very interesting journalist, very interesting talks, and I really enjoyed sort of going through this material. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we just pray, Lord, into this situation, into this world that is, Lord, that is losing the plot. Lord, where people are no longer sure who they are and what they are, and Lord, where they fall into deep depression. Lord, where there is a house that is being cleared out, and there was the light of Christianity in this house, and they've thrown out this light, and now evil spirits are coming, and the evil spirit brings him worse than himself to move back into this house. We pray, Lord, that that he will give us the authority and the power to clear this house back out again and to preach the gospel to nations which have lost it, who no longer know how to solve their problems, who no longer have the backbone to deal with the attacks which are happening on the nation itself. We pray, Lord, give us wisdom and give us strength to oppose all the stuff that is lifting itself up against you. We pray, Lord, that Lord, those migrant communities, that they will be reached with the gospel, Lord, and that they will see the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to christianwarroom.com. That's christianwarroom.com.